again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Daily Daily Caller podcast for the 22nd day of October 2019. It's a Tuesday if you're playing the home game. I am Derek Hunter. I am your host. I am still suffering from the flu, but I'm going to trek through this as best I can, if you can forgive the sniffles and occasional coughs and the fact that my voice is not this devastatingly sexy. It's not usually this deep. Feel like I should be doing some voiceover work right now when I've got this going for me. I just get short of breath every once in a while. It comes in waves. Now you feel good and you're like, okay, I got this. And then it's like, no, I feel completely drained. I just want to lay down. The kids are doing better. They still have the sniffles, but they're like a day or two ahead of me, which I hope means I'm going to turn the corner tomorrow. We shall see. The wife thus far has remained unaffected, and hopefully she will continue to be as such. We got a lot of stuff to get to. Man, the media just loves rallying to protect Hillary Clinton and defending. It's kind of funny what they will defend in the name of defending the Republic. They will defend destroying the Republic. It's like a really bad Star Wars movie, which had their new trailer premiere last night during Monday Night Football. I watched it online. I'm going to go see the movie. But it's not really super exciting because they don't tell you anything about what's going on in the movie. And none of the characters of the new group are particularly compelling. So anyway, like I said, we got a lot of things to get to and none of them involve Star Wars, except for maybe some Star Wars references. If you want to email me or if you want to enter to win a signed copy of Greg Jarrett's book, the email address is Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. Just mention in the subject line that you want to be entered. If you got more to say than that, say it in the body. I'll read it and respond. Otherwise, if you don't hear back from me, you are entered. I assure you. If I don't see question marks or something, I'm just moving on. There are a ton of entries. Greg Jarrett not only has a really, really nice signature, he's wildly popular. So there you go. Also, if you've bought the book already, you can send me a copy, a picture of you with the book or a picture of the book at your house or a copy of your receipt, and you'll be entered twice. That's how we do it. And I'll be giving away two copies on Thursday night. The deadline is going to be, we'll just say 10 p.m. Eastern Time Thursday. There you go. 10 p.m. Eastern Time Thursday to get in on the drawing. It's just that easy. Everybody wins because nothing costs anybody anything. All right, before we get off on the news of the day, well, that sounded really bad. That's not what I'm in the mood for when I feel all achy, but no, not going to do it. Before we get into the news of the day, and I apologize to any and all children listening, let's tip our hat to one of our sponsors. Look, I'm a firm believer that when you're happy, you're healthy, and you're healthy, you're happy. And boy, I could use something that might fight the flu, but everything else, all my joint aches are made better. That's why I use CBD oil from ancientlifeoil.com. It's a natural remedy made with nothing but the purest ingredients and blended with coconut and hemp oils. I'm telling you, it's a home run hitter to make you feel great. I was a skeptic, but now I see why it's so popular. I feel great when I'm on it and I don't have the flu. Ancient Life Oil is non-psychoactive, meaning it provides you with all the benefits without the high, sorry stoners. I encourage you to do your own research. Just search CBD oil benefits for yourself. You'll find out why thousands of people have made CBD oil a regular part of their healthy routine. If you're ready to live your best life, go to ancientlifeoil.com now, the trusted source for the highest quality CBD oil. ancientlifeoil.com. See what all the rage is about. Check it out for yourself. You won't regret it. And as an added bonus, when you go to ancientlifeoil.com, enter promo code Derek at checkout and you get free shipping. Boom. Just like that, right to your door, and you're on the way to feeling great. Those aches and pains just going to be go the way of the dodo. Okay, speaking of aches and pains that won't go the way of the dodo, Hillary Clinton. She is on a book tour. She co-wrote a book with Chelsea, something about gutsy women, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what it's called. It's selling well because people are sheep. And I guarantee you neither one of these two wrote anything about it. They probably put together a list of names and then contracted with a ghostwriter to write it and then read it and said, okay, that's fine. But that's how it works when you're big and fancy and rich. She is out there in the media and she just cannot let that 2016 loss go, and she cannot let old grudges go. I told you yesterday about how she's gone after Tulsi Gabbard, called her a Russian agent. As a matter of fact, let's listen to Hillary Clinton call Tulsi Gabbard a Russian agent.
I'm not making any predictions, but I think they've got their eye on somebody who's currently in the Democratic primary and are grooming her to be the third party candidate. She's the favorite of the Russians. They have a bunch of sites and bots and other ways of supporting her so far. And that's assuming Jill Stein will give it up, which she might not because she's also a Russian asset.
Tulsi Gabbard, current member of Congress, current member of the Army Reserve, the major, as a matter of fact, is a Russian asset, a Russian secret agent, perhaps. According to Hillary Clinton, who offers no substantiation for her charges, nor is she pressed to offer any substantiation for her allegations. It's kind of funny because she has done other media interviews and other book events at public things where they're having questions and answers. And nobody's bothered to ask her, hey, you kind of, you know, went after a sitting member of Congress and a member of our military who served two tours overseas, Hillary, without any backup, without any providing any verification or proof. Maybe you'd like to take a moment now to sort of say why, where are all these bots and where are all these websites set up to bolster Tulsi Gabbard as Russia's favorite president? But no, that hasn't happened to Hillary Clinton. What has happened to Hillary Clinton, aside from some pushback from a few of the Democrats running against Tulsi Gabbard, Bernie Sanders has come out, they've released statements, and some of the statements are pretty good and unequivocal, and they think it's classless and wrong for Hillary to do what she did. Some of the other lesser-known candidates have remained relatively quiet because they're cowards and they're horrible people. But the biggest group of horrible people remains in the media, and they have done what they always do. They rally around the flag to protect Hillary Clinton. If Hillary Clinton says something, there will always be a contingent of the media, of the journalist class out there, desperately trying to make it true or to distract from the reality of the lies that she said, to try and justify. We have a lot of examples of this, but the biggest one, the best one, comes right from the pages of the paper of record, the New York Times. You heard Hillary Clinton right there accuse Tulsi Gabbard of being a Russian asset, a Russian plant, a Russian agent, whether she knows it or not. She could be, you know, one of those sleeper cells that they just haven't, you know, told her to play, pass the time by playing a little solitaire yet. It's a reference to Manchurian Candidate, if you don't know. Well, after hearing that, what does the New York Times do? They put up a piece by Lisa Lehrer, L-E-R-E-R. She writes at the Post on politics. She's a very serious journalist, as they all are at the New York Times. She has a piece entitled Hillary Clinton, Master Troll? And then the subheadline is Freed from the Constraints of Public Office, Mrs. Clinton Seems to be Living Her Best Life. Now, you couldn't find this kind of fluffing outside the porn industry, and you'd be hard-pressed to find it in there. Lisa Lehrer writes, is Hillary Clinton trolling us? Over the past 2 weeks, Mrs. Clinton has called President Trump a corrupt human tornado. She refused to appear on a panel with Christian Nielsen, the former Homeland Security Secretary, best known for separating migrant children from their families. She's picked a fight with Representative Tulsi Gabbard, suggesting that the Hawaii congresswoman and presidential candidate is a favorite of the Russians. Wait, what? Now, you just heard what Hillary Clinton said. She accused her of being a Russian asset. She accused her of being a Russian asset, not as though there was a poll done in Moscow. And boy, they found out that Tulsi, with 18%, is so far carrying the Russian vote. No. She accused Tulsi Gabbard of being a Russian asset. Yet the New York Times, and she did so without any evidence, without anything to substantiate it, with no backup and no follow-up questions. And the New York Times phrases that as, why, she's picked a fight with Tulsi Gabbard, suggesting the Hawaii congresswoman and presidential candidate is a favorite of the Russians. A favorite of the Russians. It is an unbelievable bastardization of reality to take the audio that I just played for you and twist it the way Lisa Lehr did. Lisa Lehr did, I don't even know, there's no Clinton campaign, the Clinton machine, maybe somebody, nobody has to pay these people off, though. That's the thing. These people are all on board. They recognize that Hillary Clinton has to be protected. The Democratic establishment has to be protected. And think what you will of Tulsi Gabbard. And I said yesterday, not the biggest fan of Tulsi Gabbard. She's a liberal down the line, but she crossed the Clintons. And to be a journalist in good standing and to have access to the sources or whatever, the information that you want and you need, is to suck up to the establishment. And the establishment doesn't like Tulsi Gabbard. The establishment loves Hillary Clinton. Nobody else does, but the establishment loves Hillary Clinton. So enter Newsweek. They have a piece. Their title is a little more on the nose because Newsweek is desperate for clicks. It sold a few years ago for a dollar, and you could probably buy it for 25 cents if you wanted to take on all their debt. They're a worthless rag that causes bird constipation because if you use it to line your bird cage, the bird will refuse to go on it. They think it's too far beneath them. The Newsweek piece, its title, Tulsi Gabbard is being used by the Russians, and to a former double agent, the evidence is clear. Ooh, and it's by somebody named Naveed Jamali. He's apparently a former FBI double agent. Former FBI double agent. Says, much has been made about Hillary Clinton's implication. Again, the word choice is very important because most people in the future will not go and listen to the actual audio that I played for you. These stories, however, will last forever on the internet. So you've got Hillary Clinton suggesting that in the New York Times, and now you have Newsweek, that Hillary Clinton's implication that Tulsi Gabbard is someone Russia has their eye on. While Gabbard has responded with claims that she's the subject of a coordinated smear campaign by Clinton, she has steadfastly refused to renounce any Russian support she may be receiving. Now, it's kind of funny because this is getting the Donald Trump treatment. Tulsi Gabbard is getting the President Trump treatment. This person supports you, or may support you, or who knows, whatever. Will you renounce them? Who? What? Why would I don't know who these people are. Why do I have to renounce them? Is there any evidence that they're out there? Is there any evidence that the Russians are out there supporting Tulsi Gabbard? Doesn't matter. Tulsi Gabbard won't renounce any support she may be receiving. As somebody who worked against Russian intelligence, I agree with Clinton's assessment. Gabbard's campaign and messaging are at risk of being weaponized to interfere with and manipulate our elections. I love this mentality. Democrats really, truly feel as though they were entitled to win in 2016 and it was stolen from them. You stupid Americans who didn't vote the way that they wanted you to. You didn't do it because you were sick of all their crap and you were disgusted by the same old status quo in Washington, D.C. You did it because you were too stupid to know any better. You were manipulated. And those evil, evil Russians are doing it again. they can't accept the fact that they're just not wildly popular. The American people don't like them very much, or a large swath of the American public don't like them very much. But since they live in such an insulated world where they never come across a contrary opinion at their cocktail party society, the idea, the concept that their opinions are not universally accepted is foreign to them. That is the world in which they live. And that leads us nicely into the second part of this bastardization of the concept of protecting our republic. The New York Times, as a editorial board member, these are the people who set the official opinions of the newspaper. This editorial board member is Michelle Cottle, C-O-T-T-L-E. Never heard of her before. But she has enormous influence over what liberals think and what goes on in the liberal media on a daily basis as a member of the New York Times editorial board. She decided to put fingers to keyboard, used to be pen to paper, but fingers to keyboard, and write a piece entitled, "They Are Not the Resistance, They Are Not a Cabal, They Are Public Servants." The subtitle, "Let us now praise these non-silent heroes." Now, it's kind of important to recognize that this person is in charge of the official opinions of the paper of record in the United States. She writes, "President Trump is right. The deep state is alive and well." Now, that's an admission right there, because the Democrats and their media allies have spent the last 2+ years denying the existence of the deep state and calling anybody who mentioned it crazy, a conspiracy theorist, a lunatic who is not to be trusted to be around sharp knives and small woodland creatures. Yet here they are now saying, well, yes, the deep state is alive and well. She continues, "But it is not the sinister anti-democratic cabal of his fever dreams. It is rather a collection of patriotic public servants, career diplomats, scientists, intelligence officers, and others who, from within the bowels of this corrupt and corrupting administration," no judgment there, "have somehow remembered that their duty is to protect the interests, not of a particular leader, but of the American people." Well, yes, it is their duty to follow the law, but they are to serve the president elected by the people. That's where the true threat to our republic comes in. The Democrats and the left have no interest in that. They really truly believe that they are smarter than everybody else, that they are better than everybody else, that they should be the arbiters of what you are allowed to think and do, because if you were left to your own devices, you would just screw it up anyway. So the President of the United States is the only person elected nationwide. It's through the Electoral College, but the American people from coast to coast weigh in and elect the President of the United States. The bureaucracy beneath him in the executive branch is supposed to serve his agenda, implement his agenda, whether they agree with it or not. The careerists, are the political appointees from the previous administration are all supposed to offer their resignation, and the careerist civil servants are supposed to do what they are told to do, as long as it is a lawful order. Nobody is alleging that they're throwing around terms like, it's an abuse of power. There's no crime abuse of power. That's the biggest thing that they've come up with. He's abusing his power. Okay, how? Why? How? What? They don't have an answer for that. They conflate the ask to help in rooting out corruption in Ukraine involving the 2016 election with a 540-word later mention of Joe Biden. And they confuse those two and say, ha, quid pro quo, quid pro quo. It's a lie. It's a fraud. But these faceless, nameless bureaucrats, and even the bureaucrats whose names we do know and faces we do see, recognize or need to recognize that the American people have elected Donald Trump and no one has elected any of them to anything. Yet the left, who loves to chant, this is what democracy looks like, are now actively cheering the people working to subvert the duly elected president of the United States. Not exposing any crime. Look, you got footage of Donald Trump throwing the body in the trunk of the presidential limo. I want to see that. I want to know all about it. If you have proof of actual corruption, then I'm down with the cause. But you don't. You have him making policy decisions that you don't like. And to that I say, tough. You could be the... I love how suddenly everybody loves the Kurds. Think back to 2 months ago. Do you hear anything about the Kurds? Was there anybody giving long speeches in Washington or giant think pieces in newspapers and magazines about how wonderful the Kurds are and how we should always be with them and stand with them forever? Or did you hear about, boy, we're entering year 18 in the war in Afghanistan and Iraq. We got to really do so. Are we going to be in there forever? And then suddenly... Donald Trump says, we're going to start pulling troops out. And they go, well, you can't possibly do that. Suddenly all the peaceniks become warmongers. Well, theoretically, the troops that were in northern Syria were serving as human shields. And they weren't really allowed to engage in combat unless it was as a last resort, which is why they should never have been there in the first place. But I would put this to our liberal journalist friends and even to our conservative pearl clutchers who are very, very upset over the president's decision. Since they really only need American human shields over there, you can sign up. You probably don't even have to sign up. You could just go over there. You could get in there as a journalist or as a member of the media and, you know, just bring a few tins of Spam with you and some tuna fish and some bottled water and go and serve the purpose that our military was serving over there. Since you're so concerned about the Kurds, they need some American human shields. Go serve as it. All right, how about that? I'd love to see some of these CNN talking heads and some of these MSNBC talking heads so outraged that the president is removing Americans from harm's way that he may not even be doing now. But they were so angry about this that, okay, go over there. Bring a film crew, bring a satellite truck or whatever, and just set up shop in northern Syria along the Turkish border and serve that purpose for them. We, as the American people, will make it known to the Turkish government that, hey, we're going to replace the troops with some Americans. Now, they're still all Americans, so don't shoot at them. You know, we consider them just as important as the troops, but they want to be there. They don't mind being used as human shields. They're very concerned about what's going on over here, and we're just going to make that trade. Why won't they? I think that would be a capital idea, as they say. But back to the point. The admission of the existence of a deep state. None of these people have been elected. Not a single one of them have been elected by anybody to anything. Yet here is the newspaper of record, the New York Times, saying we should celebrate them. We need to cheer them. They are our heroes. They says throughout the Trump presidency, there has been a trickle of fed up individuals willing to step up and protest the administration's war on science, expertise, and facts. And then she goes through a whole bunch of liberal activists who were in government bureaucracies who came forward and quit their jobs and demanded that Trump impose their will. Well, here's a little bit of a clue for Michelle Cottle and the rest of the gang that couldn't think straight over at the New York Times editorial board. If you think that this president is doing things that you don't like, that you don't want this country to do, if you don't want the direction you don't want this country to go in, run against him yourselves. Don't sit around and just support a Democrat. That's too predictable for you at the New York Times. Try and get him defeated at the ballot box. But in reality, what they're actually trying to do is get the last election overturned. That's what everything they do is all about. It is about overturning the last election, not winning the next one. Democrats don't really have much of a strategy for the next election. They just are going to offer themselves up as we're not Donald Trump. I'm not sure how successful that will be, but that seems to be their strategy. And when you have such an awful group of human beings running as for your party's nomination, I can see why that would be appealing. But realistically, they aren't focused on that. With the push for impeachment, with the push for the embrace of the newly acknowledged deep state, the left is still trying to overturn, undo the results of the 2016 election. Meanwhile, the Attorney General of the United States is working on getting to the bottom of what actually happened in the 2016 election, because there was a whole bunch of weird, screwed up, shall we say, shenanigans that went on during the last election. Now, to pull off international tricks and scams, you kind of have to have international connections in the political class. You don't, and to use the power of our federal government to help you in that quest, you have to have deep ties to people who are in our federal government, particularly in our executive branch and our intelligence community. Now, there is no human being on the planet who would argue that Donald Trump had such ties. His job as a real estate billionaire did not really bring him into much contact with CIA officials or FBI agents or the National Security Administration or anything like that. He just didn't. They don't run in the same circles. Donald Trump was not really politically active. He was more interested in making the pages of the newspaper on page 6 than on page 1, although he reveled when he did make page 1. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, having been First Lady for 8 years, having been a United States Senator for 8 years, having been Secretary of State for 4 or 5 years, whatever it was, had all of those contacts and connections with all of those people needed and necessary if one were to try to put together a shadowy organization designed to cheat and win you an election. The Attorney General of the United States is looking through that. He's pulling on some threads. And that has our Democratic friends very, very, very nervous. Now, I'm going to play you a clip from Morning Joe yesterday. Now, I'm going to stop it periodically and offer commentary throughout. But keep in mind that every person you are hearing right in this clip, and it's the whole Morning Joe clown car, their job is to get information, as much information as possible, presumably about any subject. They are supposedly journalists, members of the media in good standing. Listen to how these people, these liberals, all of them are left-wing lunatics. Listen to how they talk about Barr's investigation and Durham's investigation into the origins of the Russia hoax and how it was that the Obama administration's intelligence community managed to spy on American citizens and launch a large investigation into a rival political campaign based on bogus information. Listen to how nervous they are. Listen to how upset they are at the prospect of this investigation happening. And you have no other choice but to conclude that they are afraid that something could be discovered, that something might be discovered. That's really the only reason to have the reaction of these people.
I mean, I'll tell you, Ken, yes, people are vouching for Durham, but you know what? People were vouching for Barr as well, a guy who I personally believe will be remembered as perhaps the most corrupt attorney general in the history of the United States of America. So,
just a reminder that Eric Holder was held in contempt of Congress, that Eric Holder oversaw the forced sale of weapons to Mexican drug cartels and did not trace those guns and watched them as they marched across the border, did not work with the Mexican government to let them know, hey, we're trying to figure out how these guns flow to Mexico, so we'll work with you to try and make sure that none of them get away. He did none of that. And he never once found, discovered, mentioned, talked about how that started. We still don't know the origins of the Fast and Furious program. They didn't trace the guns. They forced the sale. They didn't watch the guns go across the border. They didn't alert the Mexican government. And it cost thousands of lives in Mexico and cost the lives of a few Americans, including border agent Brian Terry. And what did Bill Barr, what has Bill Barr done? Bill Barr is looking into, again, like I said, how it was that the power of the federal government to spy on people that is supposed to be used for foreign, that's the FISA part, the foreign against foreigners. How did that lens get pointed at an American citizen? To Morning Joe, to Joe Scarborough in particular, he doesn't care. He's not curious. He's nervous that there might be a reason he doesn't like.
All these assurances mean nothing, especially when he's going around and not only going around the world, apparently chasing conspiracy theories, whether it's off of the internet or whether it's from Papadopoulos's mind. But he's also trying to get documents from the CIA. He's trying to get intel documents that the CIA should not give up for a thousand different reasons.
Now, right there, it's kind of interesting. Bill Barr has been given access by the President of the United States, given permission to view anything. He has unfettered access to any and all documents he's supposed to. God knows if the CIA is complying with that. It's highly unlikely that they are. They're probably destroying stuff. But I find it interesting there that Joe Scarborough, NBC News anchor, is very upset that somebody in the executive branch should have access to documents contained within the executive branch. Because the CIA is under the umbrella of the executive branch. It is not a fourth branch of government that is free to do whatever the hell it wants. It is, in theory, responsible to report to the President of the United States. Now, they had no problem with it when it was Barack Obama, when it's a Democrat. But now that it's Donald Trump, they don't want anybody held accountable. They don't want people getting that information. Meanwhile, everybody on that network, Joe Scarborough included, will whine, piss, and moan that the White House is not turning over every single document that Adam Schiff wants to see in his secret kangaroo court. See the disconnect there? Isn't that a bit curious? Doesn't that seem a bit hypocritical? That they're sitting there whining on a daily basis. My God, the White House is not turning over all of these documents. They need to release all the transcripts of every call the president has ever made. We want every note ever taken at every meeting. We want everybody who's ever spoken with the president to come in, no matter their position. They want Rudy Giuliani to testify, even though he was the president's personal lawyer and therefore attorney-client privilege would apply. Screw all of that. There needs to be complete and total transparency. But my God, you start looking into how the CIA got involved in the 2016 election and why they vouched for somebody, the FBI, and why the FBI vouched for somebody that the FBI had fired in Christopher Steele. They found him to be unreliable, and they found him to be leaking to the press, so they canned his ass, but they used his unverified work. They released it to Michael Isikoff, who dutifully reported on it, and then they used the reporting on it, without mentioning that it was from the Steele dossier, as backup. As proof that, well, there's other proof for that. It's not just the Steele dossier. Look at this news reporter has been on the track all along. Well, that's because you spoon-fed him that, and he unquestioningly reported it. God forbid you find out how that came to be. Who ordered that? And whether or not the evidence was as flimsy as it sure as hell seems like it is, and suddenly Joe Scarborough wants his cards played very close to the vest. He doesn't want anybody seeing anything. He doesn't think the American people have a need to know anything about that, and it's so important that the CIA keep secrets from the Attorney General of the United States of America. I get you don't like him, Joe, but he's still the Attorney General of the United States of America, and your opinion on that is about as constitutionally relevant as a warm bucket of urine. You don't get to decide, we don't like this Attorney General. Therefore, we don't have to cooperate with any investigation he's launching because I don't like the investigation either. Again, it goes back to this idea of the deep state. Democrats deny that it happened, deny, it doesn't exist. And then they say, well, yeah, it does exist, but they're doing the Lord's work. And it's very important that they continue doing the Lord's work. They are thwarting the will of a duly elected president. That's kind of a big deal, or it used to be. You remember during the Obama administration, once Republicans took the House of Representatives and then later the Senate, what was the nonstop mantra from these anti-constitutionalist, un-American douchebags? It was, they are obstructing. They will not do what the president is wanting him done. This is an outrage. How can they not? Congress must act. Barack Obama used his magic pen and his phone to circumvent Congress many, many times because Congress did not act. Well, Congress not acting is Congress choosing a path. They don't have to act just because the president says jump. They are a co-equal branch of government. The CIA, the FBI, the NSA, all of the intelligence community is not a co-equal branch of government. They fall under the executive branch. If you don't like that, Joe, try and amend the Constitution. Good luck with that. Otherwise, and until you do that, those agencies have to cooperate with the Attorney General. And by the way, just recognize your hypocrisy, for God's sakes, when you're sitting there saying, well, the White House must comply with Adam Schiff, who's doing everything behind closed doors and won't let Republicans participate. But the Attorney General trying to find out how Americans' lives were spied upon and how the election, how it was rigged, possibly, how the whole Russian hoax that led to a 2.5-year investigation and millions of dollars, how that came into being, you've got no interest in that, do you, Joe? I think you have a very keen interest in that, Joe, and I suspect you're very concerned that some of your favorite party guests might end up in very uncomfortable positions if the truth were to come out. I don't think you know firsthand. I don't think anybody trusts you enough to tell you. But I think you're probably not dumb. I was going to say smart enough, but that doesn't apply. I think you're probably not dumb enough to think it doesn't have the possibility. Guilty people, they always say when Donald Trump is trying to say, you don't have right to this information, I'm not giving you any more of this. Well, guilty people don't try and hide information. Well, then what do you say to the deep state, Joe? What do you say to the CIA trying to hide information? Oh, you can try and couch it under what sources and methods and all. It's the Attorney General of the United States. He has as high a clearance as is necessary to find out why the Obama administration spied on a mid-level campaign volunteer for Donald Trump. Two of them. That should not require super-duper top-secret clearance. If it does, that's a testament to just how screwed up and out of control those agencies have become. There's much more to this Morning Joe garbage. We'll continue in a second. I just got to tip our hats to our second sponsor. Of course, it's the Trump campaign. We're just over a year away from Election Day 2020, the most important election in American history. This election will determine if America heads down the path of greatness, continues down that path, or if America will spiral down into full-blown socialism at the hands of left-wing radicals. But we can't sit back and wait for 2020. You need to take action now. Text the word DAILY to 88022 and receive official Trump alerts directly to your phone. You'll gain exclusive 2020 updates directly from President Trump himself. Be the first to know when new Trump merchandise is available, and you'll be able to have your input on key issues to help shape the 2020 campaign. Again, all you have to do is text the word DAILY to 88022. It helps the show, too. If the Democrats take back the White House, they will destroy the booming economy, starting with regulations. They will continue to prioritize illegal aliens over the safety of you and your family. The wall will never get finished, and the greatest cover-up in American history will be secured. You can't let that happen. You can't let them undo everything that has happened in the last few years. Make sure you're getting your news directly from the source by texting DAILY to 88022. Again, text the word DAILY to 88022. This was paid for by the Trump Make America Great Again Committee, a joint fundraising committee authorized by and composed of Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated and the Republican National Committee that is dedicated to making America great again. Let us now return to Morning Joe. You're going to hear a guy after Joe finally shuts up. A reporter, supposedly a national security reporter named Ken DeLinen. He was one of the conduits through which Fusion GPS got their information out. He's a useful idiot, which is a nice change for Ken because it's the first time in his life he's been useful. The idiot part he nailed a long time ago. So that's when the voices change. That's who you're hearing from.
You have the President of the United States pressuring the Attorney General, who's now pressuring an investigator to go around and to do things that have not, that have never been done before. And that is go in and ask the CIA to reveal things they shouldn't reveal.
Just a quick note before we get to Ken DeLinen. He's not having the CIA post this stuff to their Facebook page. He is conducting an investigation into how the United States intelligence community ended up spying on an American citizen, which is supposed to be only done in very, very specific cases under very extenuating circumstances. It's supposed to be done on foreigners in foreign lands. But you would not know that difference if you listen to Joe. He doesn't want to tell everybody in the world. He is the Attorney General of the United States of America. And Durham is a federal prosecutor and a designated deputy of the Attorney General charged with getting to the bottom of this information. And there is Joe clutching Mika's pearls, whining about the prospect of there having to be the possibility of accountability in the CIA. Didn't that strike anybody as terrifying that anybody in this country would say, you know what, the CIA shouldn't have to answer to anybody? That should scare the crap out of everyone. But when it's the Democrats controlling it, it's kind of funny because it wasn't that long ago in the 60s when Democrats were saying, don't trust the CIA, don't trust the FBI, don't trust anybody over 30. Well, then they all went, turned over 30, and now they're saying, give your undying loyalty to these faceless bureaucracies. Do not question them. And if they try to overwhelm your vote in the ballot box, fear not. Just trust that they are doing it for your own good. It's a bunch of crap. Now here's Ken DeLinen.
That's right. You know, people forget that Donald Trump empowered William Barr with this extraordinary authority to demand any classified document he wants in connection with this. And you're absolutely right. There's a lot of unease at the CIA and disquiet about the notion of federal prosecutors going over and rooting in their files, not because they think they did anything wrong, but because these are sources and methods, some of the most highly classified documents and secrets in our government. And they are kept to a small set of people for a reason. It's a need to know situation. And they're questioning what is the need for John Durham and his prosecutors to go over and talk to them about that in the absence of any allegation of wrongdoing.
In the absence of any allegation of wrongdoing, American citizens were spied on. The Trump campaign was spied on. The resources of the intelligence community were used to do that. How did that happen? They started the Russian narrative that Donald Trump was colluding with the Russians. That was a lie. How did that come to be? That's kind of an important reason, Ken. See, I told you, the useful part is new. The idiot part has always been with him.
What is their expertise? And in fact, some person said to me, you know, if John Durham is going around the world talking to foreign intelligence services, how does he know he's not being lied to? Does he have a counterintelligence official with him? There's no evidence that he does. The CIA does that for a living. They evaluate whether they're being lied to, and they talk to foreign intelligence services. A federal prosecutor really doesn't have that expertise. So a lot of questions here, guys.
A lot of questions. Yes, those foreign policy experts, those spies in the intelligence community, they did gangbuster work on weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, right? They were fed a whole bunch of crap from opponents of Saddam Hussein, and they just regurgitated it. Their BS detector apparently didn't go off then, but don't worry, they're experts in it, and you need to have counterintelligence agents with you if you dare talk to anybody overseas. Investigators have a lot more ability than this. They require more than the word of someone. Apparently, they have a higher standard than the FISA court does, which they can just take somebody's dream journal and a Michael Isikoff report and the word of James Comey over at the FBI and say, all right, go ahead and spy on an American. That's what you got to do. But prosecutors will not just take somebody's word for it. They will require documentation. That's what scares the crap out of these people. And who's this person talking to Kendall Leinen? I wouldn't trust Kendall Leinen with my locker combination from high school that I haven't been in a long time, let alone national security secrets. Yet here I am talking to people in the intelligence community, and they're very concerned about, what is their expertise? What if they're lied to? What are you worried about, pal? It's kind of funny. These people are very concerned that somebody is sniffing around in their backyard. Somebody is trying to find out what they may or may not have done. And why would that be, Ken? Why would that be? Now, if they did nothing wrong, according to your logic, they should be cooperating and be looking forward to this and trying to make this go as smoothly and as quickly as possible so they can get back to the very serious jobs that they all do on a daily basis to keep this country safe. But if they have something to hide, if they think there was something wrong, or it might expose, as we discussed on Friday's show with Greg Jarrett, the possibility that there is a lot more of this free trade spying going on. You know, the American intelligence community can't spy on Americans, but they can call up MI6 over in the UK, or they can call over whatever the hell the Australians call their intelligence agency and say, hey, we got an American here that we'd like to know a lot more about, but we can't get to him. You know, stupid Constitution protecting his liberties and all that crap. So it would be really sweet if you guys spied on him. And then if anything was there, you maybe talk to us. And by the way, do you have anybody in your countries that you would like to know more information on that you can't legally spy on, but we absolutely positively can? And maybe we can meet on a bridge at midnight as the fog rolls over the water below and do a sort of thumb drive exchange of what we find about your guys and what you find about our guys. And then all the paper trails, they don't exist. Because it's not done in the United States, and everybody's civil liberties are respected, in quotes. Maybe that's a lot more common than the intelligence community would like us to know. Maybe it's a lot worse than that. Maybe they're actually scared feces-less at what they did. See, all of this was done. Every last bit of it was done with the assurance of Joe Namath in Super Bowl III. You know, they were convinced Joe Namath guaranteed victory, and he delivered victory. They knew Hillary Clinton was going to be the next president of the United States. So they wanted to compile, this is my supposition here, but I think it's pretty valid. The Clinton campaign and the Clintons, the Clinton machine, the Democratic establishment, and the deep state are very bitter and angry people. They don't like anybody who even criticizes them. So when Donald Trump lost and was vanquished back to being a real estate mogul, he was likely going to be left alone because he was too high profile a target. But there were a whole bunch of lower level people who dared step out of line, who did things that displeased our would-be masters, who would eventually have to be made to pay, to suffer for their insolence, for working for the opposition, for opposing Hillary Clinton, for criticizing or standing by somebody who criticized the intelligence community. they wanted to gather as much ammunition as possible to maybe not do it publicly, maybe not through a prosecution, but I bet that they gathered all sorts of information that maybe whispered in the right ear could ruin a business deal, could maybe cost somebody a job, could maybe cause trouble in marriages. God knows what happens when what people do when they think nobody's listening or talking. And they would have just pocketed that information, maybe not to use immediately, maybe if any of them reared their ugly heads, went on cable television, and became anti-President Hillary Clinton pundits, then maybe you could get them ruined, get them off there, maybe you could get them thrown in jail. It's always good to have as much information about your enemies, and that's how the left views people who disagree with them. As much information on your enemies as humanly possible. Not because you want to blow your wad all at once. You never know when opportunity is going to present itself and when it will be time to pounce. Revenge is a dish best served cold. And when you are a faceless government bureaucrat working your way up to a nice big fat pension by ingratiating yourself to the powers that be, you know how this goes. It doesn't end well. Not for liberty, not for civil liberties. It's kind of important. I'm glad that Barr is looking into this. I'm glad that Durham is looking into this. And I'm glad, more importantly, that the left is very nervous. And I will remind you once again, one last time, that Joe Scarborough and particularly Ken DeLinen, their jobs are to gather as much information as humanly possible to try and convey it to the American public. Yet here they are in a two-minute diatribe cursing the Attorney General of the United States for trying to get answers to questions they don't like. Tells you something, doesn't it? Tells you something about them. It tells you something about people like them. Speaking of people like them, and I've got to start to wrap this up, so we'll just do a couple more as I'm going through fits of cold sweats. Like, I get really cold, and then all of a sudden I just start sweating, and then I'm really hot, and then it's a nightmare. Hopefully I'm turning a page, but the page is heavy. Speaking of people like them, switching topics, at the event where AOC endorsed Bernie Sanders, they both sat down for an interview with CBS News. And it's kind of, there are two embarrassing moments there for journalism, not just for the journalist who conducted the interview, who is someone named Nicole Killian. They sat down and it was billed as their first joint interview. Ooh, CBS News was right there on the case. And they got this softball interview. Now, how soft was this ball? That should be the question for you. I didn't mean to make that sort of image pop in your head, but what are you going to do? The first question, of course, is the one that all progressives would ask. What are you doing endorsing an old white guy? Of course, that is what a liberal journalist who happens to be black would ask, because this is the mindset of the left. You are not an individual. You are your skin tone. You are your gender. You are your gender identity, your sexuality. You're everything except an individual, because they are the Borg.
As a woman of color, why back an old white guy? And is this the future of the party?
I'm actually very excited about this partnership, because it shows what we have to do in our country is that we have to come together across race, across gender, across generation.
What are you doing endorsing this old white guy? Don't you know that there are other people who believe in the same crap, who have a different skin color or sexual orientation or gender, that should have gone this? This is how the Democratic Party thinks. Of course, they're both socialists, so peas in a pod or comrades in a gulag, however you want to make the analogy. Of course she would endorse him. She helped make him. After she won her primary, she was a bit of a national story, a bit of a buzz. And then Bernie came in and recognized, to his credit, for a socialist, he sure knows marketing. He recognized an attractive idiot that he could mold, and he toured the country with her for the general election because her general election race was a foregone conclusion. That's how sad and gerrymandered her district is, that he traveled the country with her to go to other left-wing lunatic districts trying to push radical socialists on the ballot. Now, they mostly lost, but that helped elevate AOC, having her run around with Bernie Sanders. So she kind of owed him, not that socialists have any kind of loyalty. Then the next question comes along, and again, I want to remind you of this reporter's name, because her name is Nicole Killian. And if you are going, this is a pro tip for anybody out there who might ever interview anybody whatsoever. You don't have to be an expert on the topic that you're interviewing people over. I rarely know anything about the topic at hand. You just have to, that when I interview somebody, you just have to know the basics, and you have to listen, and then base your questions off of the answers that they gave in a way that normal human beings have discussions with one another. This Nicole Killian asks one of the dumbest questions that should not only embarrass her, it should embarrass CBS News, and it should embarrass every journalist in the business. It won't. It was on CBS News, so barely anybody saw it. But I'm going to play it for you now. She asks Bernie Sanders whether or not he would consider having Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez as his running mate. Now, I get that you don't understand the ins and outs of party politics necessarily, even of the party that you ascribe to for this reporter, but you should have a basic, rudimentary understanding of the Constitution. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is 30 years old. To be president of the United States, you have to be, say it with me, 35 years old. Now, you know that number because you have read the Constitution, and you likely went to school before they really dumbed everything down. Apparently, Nicole Killian did not, and so she embarrassed herself on national television. Again, luckily for her, it was CBS News, so very few people saw it.
If you are the nominee, Senator, would you consider the Congresswoman as your running mate?
Well, I think I'm too young for that.
There you go, she's excellent.
Could you imagine being corrected on the Constitution by AOC? Knowing that AOC knows more about the Constitution than you, barely. She said, I don't think I'm old enough. You're not, thank God. Hopefully in the 5 years it'll take for you to become old enough, this country will mature enough to recognize the crap that you're spewing. But my God, how embarrassing for this reporter. How embarrassing for this report. And of course, most people learn in junior high. The president has to be 35 years old. The vice president has to be eligible to be president. It couldn't be more obvious and more plain, but there they are. Like, no, Bernie Sanders, well, I think I'm trying to get a zygote in Saskatchewan to join it. Like, what are you? How embarrassing. And this wasn't live, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. That means that CBS News executives and editors all watched this and said, yeah, let's run it. Let's put it out there. They could have cut it. If that makes you think, what did they cut? What is out there on the cutting room floor? Couple last stories as I run out of gas here. Ilhan Omar file. Oh, baby. She's sort of single. Well, the UK Daily Mail has done a little bit of investigating. It's kind of funny that it took the UK Daily Mail to do this. The congresswoman who insisted there was nothing going on, no shenanigans going on with this this campaign contractor that she's shoveling hundreds of thousands of dollars to, named Tim Minette, whose wife said that he was banging Ilhan Omar, and he told her that he was in love with Ilhan Omar, and that's why they're getting divorced. And Ilhan Omar said, this is ridiculous. I am a happily married woman. And, well, then she filed for divorce not long after that. Now they have been spotted essentially living together in Washington, D.C. Whenever she's in Washington, D.C., they got pictures of Tim Minette coming out of Ilhan's house or apartment or whatever the house, wherever she rents, carrying the trash out in the morning, coming over in the evening and not leaving until morning. Also, I don't generally like this kind of reporting, but She's such a hypocritical scumbag that I like this. I love how she presents herself as this, you know, she's put upon. She's a victim in this horrible, horrible racist country, this Islamophobic country, all because she's Muslim. She's a devout Muslim. Now, this will be her second divorce. One of them was from her brother, allegedly. And she's having an affair with a married man. I didn't know that Islam was so sexually liberating to women. I didn't know that. And I think there are a lot of women who have suffered female circumcision who would like to know that Islam is this liberating sexually for women. It is incredibly hypocritical. And by the way, she's still, Ilhan Omar is still shoveling money to Tim Minette as a campaign consultant to his company. Just shoveling money hand over fist because mindless liberals just want to throw money at Ilhan Omar, and she's going to line her, well, I can't say pockets, but her bed with money that people give to her. It's legitimate. I'm sure it's all above board. This is how corruption works in Washington, D.C. You hire your siblings, your spouses, your children, your lovers, your paramours to work on your campaign. And then guess who gets taken out to fancy dinners off of that money? Oh, I hired them to do legitimate campaign work. I'm just grossly overpaying them for a safe district that I really can't lose. And that's how it works in Washington. It's incredibly corrupt. But don't worry, she's very concerned about Donald Trump, whose net worth has decreased while he's president. He'll be the only president in history whose net worth has decreased while in the White House. As soon as every other president left the White House, they just have Brinks trucks following them to their houses, dumping money out for book deals and speeches and everything. Donald Trump may get some of that, but in general, he's going to come out of the presidency poorer than when he went in. He'll still be a billionaire. Don't cry for him, Argentina, but it's a sick testament to the people who get to make their own rules, the rules that they're governed by. Lastly today, as I get ready to go and sink into bed, the Kellogg's company. There's apparently a holiday out there or a new day. You know, there's like a day for everything. There was like National Menstruation Day. I was going to do stories on that, but I'm not going to bother you with that. Well, apparently last Thursday, October 17th, was Spirit Day. And if you don't know what Spirit Day is, it's because you're not a loser who has the holiday of the day calendar. It's the day against bullying. In particular, it is pushed by GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. Nothing against gays and lesbians who are against defamation. But it's another sign of the victim culture that we elevate in this country, that this day exists. And Kellogg's has decided to mark it with a special cereal.
And now, this may be a kid's breakfast dream. It's also a powerful anti-bullying campaign.
So Corn Flakes, Rice Krispies, Frosted Flakes, and Fruit Loops are just some of the cereal brands that are going to be included in this new blend by Kellogg's called All Together. It's the first time that the cereals and their mascots have been offered as one item. The blend is being offered for a limited time in honor of Spirit Day, and it will support anti-bullying advocacy work.
Yes, everything is political now, and politics is everything. They got cornflakes, they got Fruit Loops. You look at the box, there's Rice Krispies, there's Raisin Bran, there's Frosted Mini Wheats, which are terrible. Give me Mini Wheats every day. It's basically every cereal that Kellogg's makes, they just swept the factory floor and stuck it in boxes, called it limited edition, and they're going to donate $50,000 to GLAAD to stop bullying. I don't know who's excited about this cereal, to be perfectly honest with you. It just sounds awful. It sounds terrible. But if you're going to buy a box, probably seal it up and keep it sealed and sell it on eBay in a couple of weeks. I imagine it'll be worth a hell of a lot more than $5 you'll pay for it. But yes, politics is even coming to breakfast. You're not going to be in the future. Everything will be political. Your toilet paper roll will lecture you about climate change as you pull it out. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. Leave us alone. All right. That is all the time we have and all the energy I have. I have to go off into a coughing fit and take another Mucinex DM Extra Strength. If you want to email me or enter the Greg Jarrett book contest, Derek@DailyCaller.com. Compliments, complaints, whatever you want. Thanks for sharing and rating and reviewing on iTunes. If you get a moment, do one of those things. Spread the word. I appreciate it. You're the only advertising I got. I'm not spreading you the flu, so you've got that going for you. All I ask in return for my not being Typhoid Mary in your life is for you to be Typhoid Mary and spreading this podcast. And if you want to help with the show and the equipment and all that sort of stuff, the Patreon website is patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. You have until 10 p.m. Thursday Eastern Standard Time to enter the win the Greg Jarrett signed book. And you'll find out on Friday's show whether or not you won one of two of them. If the same name comes up twice, I'll draw again. I'm not going to send somebody $2. That would just be wrong. Thank you for listening. I hope you're healthier than I am, and I hope to be as healthy as you are tomorrow. See you then.
As a woman of color, why back an old white guy?